Please take your Bible this evening. We're turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Reading a few verses here. And then turning over to Hebrews, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, or the darkness overcame it not. Then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The Son declaring the Father. Then over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. It's one of those great Christ-centered chapters of the New Testament, setting before us His deity, His humanity, His deity, like John chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 3, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Amen. We'll end our reading there as we think of the superiority of Christ in this place. It is back to school this week. And at the beginning of the school week, the beginning of the school year, I have been encouraging the young people to know God, to seek the Lord, to seek Him with the whole heart. And He has promised, I will be found of you. Can I know God? That's the question I put to the young people this week. And it's the question I put to you tonight. Can I know God? Before we commence, I want to thank you tonight for your prayers for the school. We're enjoying this year increased enrollment. That's an answer to prayer. We were concerned about that matter, and the Lord has come to answer prayer, to sustain us, and we look forward to this year. Do continue to pray for the work of the academy and the collegiate. Pray for the staff on a regular basis. Pray for the students. Pray that we would know the Lord's help day by day. Let's take a moment now just to bow our heads as we come to this word tonight. Let's be still and seek the Lord. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to Thee this night, and we thank Thee, Lord, for Your goodness to us. We thank Thee for the Word of the living God that speaks to our heart. And we pray, Lord, that this Word tonight would be a Word in season. Lord, we know that Your Word is inspired, it is sufficient, it is clear, it meets all our needs, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, that we would be thoroughly furnished, Lord, that we would be equipped in this day to stand for Thee, knowing, God, we would live for the Lord. As we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so we would be built up in Him, rooted and grounded in the faith, walking with the Lord day by day. Help us, Lord, as we seek to live for Thee in this dark world. Be a light unto us. Help us now as we come to Your Word tonight. Minister to our souls. We feel our great need of Thee. We feel our deficiency. We feel our weakness, Lord. And we pray that You would be our portion afresh tonight. Lord, we pray for the ministry of the Spirit to our hearts through the Word of the living God. Help now, I pray, and do us good. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It is the Christian's great desire to know God. To know God, that was the cry of the Apostle Paul. We were considering Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Paul knew the Lord in a saving way, saved by God's grace on the Damascus Road. But he had this longing in his heart, this cry, this hunger to know Him, that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. He knew the saving grace of God in his life, but he longed to know more and more of the Lord. He longed to know more and more and to understand more and more the reason why the Lord had laid hold of him, set his love upon him, that I might know him, his power, and his fellowship on a deeper level. There is a desire for deeper communion with the Lord. He wanted to know God personally. He wanted to know God intimately. He wanted to enjoy that sweet communion with his God on a regular basis. That is often the believer's longing. I wonder, is it your desire today? Do you want to know God? Do you want to know Him in a greater way, in a greater measure than ever before? That I might know Him. Can I know God? We wonder sometimes, is it even possible to enter into that level of experience and fellowship with God that the saints of the New Testament enjoyed? We often think, well, that's for their day, that was them. How can we experience that fullness and that fellowship with God in our day? It's such a wicked day and age in which we live. Is it even possible? In this, we feel our great weakness. Our thoughts of God are very limited. They are very few, perhaps. We do not meditate upon God's truth as we should. Sin, as it always does, sin often destroys our fellowship with the Lord. And we have to honestly confess that we are weak. Our understanding is dull. We are, on many occasions, like the two on the Emmaus Road, those two despondent disciples, we are foolish and slow of heart to believe all that God has revealed in His Word concerning Himself. And we're filled with doubt. We're filled with unbelief. We are downcast. We feel our deficiencies. We are very much deficient in knowledge and understanding. This is a common problem. It's the reason we cry to the Lord. We feel our wretchedness at times. We feel and we know our own ignorance. We're deficient in our knowledge of God. We do not have right views of God. We limit God. We're filled with unbelief. And many of the struggles we have come as a result of not knowing the Word of God as we should, of not knowing God as we should, forgetting who He is, our understanding of His divine nature and His work, His attributes, is weak. God's people are often defeated or destroyed for lack of knowledge. What are we to do? Well, we have to understand that it is God's desire that His creatures enjoy fellowship with Him. For this reason, we were created. We were created to enjoy fellowship, communion with our God. God wants us to know Him, to enjoy that fellowship with Him. He desires to fellowship with us. And that's the marvel of grace, the amazing, condescending grace of God, that He would desire to fellowship with weak, base, sinful, rebellious creatures who have sinned against their Creator. And yet how often the Lord, as we read in Revelation 3:20, how often He stands at the door knocking, longing to come in, to sit at our table, to fellowship with us, to commune with us, to sup with us. And we are so dull of understanding, we do not sense the Lord's presence there, and we leave Him outside in the cold. He stands at the door waiting admittance, and we leave Him outside. And yet the Lord longs to fellowship with His people. This is God's desire. Indeed, it is His delight. God's desire and delight is in fellowship with His people. It's God's desire to commune with us as His people. There's nothing that God would rather see in His created children than a desire to know Him. We were created for that purpose, that we might know Him, walk with Him, fellowship with Him day by day. And God wants His children to know Him. He wants us to enjoy that communion with Him. You see, God delights in revealing Himself to His children. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9 and the verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9 and the verse 23. This is the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Here is the direct word of God to His people. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the mighty man in his might or in his strength, the rich man in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. This must be our boast. This must be our rejoicing in that we know the Lord. We know who He is. He is the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. And as for God, all His ways are perfect. God delights in revealing Himself to His children. It's His desire that we know Him, that we understand and know who He is and what He is like. In Hosea 6, in the verse 6, we read, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The Lord desires that we know Him, have this knowledge of God. He would not have us glory in our own wisdom, in our own strength, in our own riches, in honor of men. This must be our boast, that we know the Lord. And it says there in Jeremiah 9:24, in these things I delight, saith the Lord. This is God's desire that we know Him, but this is also His delight. God takes delight in this. The Apostle Paul in Galatians in the New Testament, in a parallel passage, well, he said in Galatians 6 in the verse 14, God forbid that I should boast, that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This must be our delight, our boast, our glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Rejoicing in Christ. And have no confidence in the flesh, counting all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might know Him. So this must be our desire and our delight also. God longs to fellowship with us as His people. This is His desire. He delights in the fact that His people would know Him. And this must be our desire. This is our calling. We are to press toward that mark. We are to follow on or to pass on to know the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And how are we to know the Lord? Well, God communicates His truth to us. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1 again, we read there that God has revealed Himself. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God communicates His truth to us. He has revealed Himself, not only in creation, what we see round about us, giving us evidence that there is a maker, there is a creator, there is a designer, there is a sustainer, there is one who has made all things, one who upholds all things by the word of His power. But He has revealed Himself in the Word, in the Bible, the Scriptures of truth. God's Word, the Scriptures, are God's revelation to man. And He especially reveals Himself through His Son, the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's full and final Word to man. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past, hath spoken in these last days by His Son. You notice there, God spake. He spake in time past, but now, in these last days, God has spoken by His Son. Does God still speak to us today? Yes, He does. He speaks to us through His Word. He reveals Himself in the Word. And Jesus Christ is designated the Word of God. That's why we were reading John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. It's the title of Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Words are very important. How could we live without words? A word is a means of revelation. A word is a means of communication. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, who was in the beginning with the Father. He made the world. He entered the world that He made. He tabernacled among men. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And men beheld His glory. Jesus is the Word of God. A word is a means of revelation. It really reveals something. I have thoughts in my mind. I am thinking certain things, but unless I put those thoughts into words, you're not going to get much out of the service tonight. I have to verbalize my thoughts. I have a thought in mind, yet you do not know it. But the moment I put those thoughts into words, describing them, revealing them, you can understand them. A word is a means of revelation. It reveals the inner thought of a man. They reveal intellect. They reveal character. The heart and thoughts are revealed by words. Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. Word is a means of communication. Words transmit information to others. I am transmitting thoughts to you by way of words. This is how we express ourselves. It's how we make known our will, our desires. It's how we impart knowledge. It's how we communicate. We communicate using words. Now apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word of God. He communicates the things of God to men. He reveals the things of God to men. He reveals the mind of God, the heart of God. Christ communicates to us the essential things of God that we might know Him. His mind, His will. But who can know the mind of God? Who can reveal the mind of God but one who is equal with God? And Jesus Christ, as equal with the Father, reveals to us the heart and the mind of God. He communicates to us His life, His love, His light, the essential things of God. And Christ has made manifest the invisible, otherwise incomprehensible God. How could we know God apart from the Word of God, Jesus Christ? John 1:18, we were reading tonight, we read, "No man hath seen God at any time." We haven't seen Him with the physical eye. But the only begotten Son, He hath declared Him. It means to tell forth. He has made Him known. Christ has faithfully, fully proclaimed Him. He declares the glory of the Father. And Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, communicates the will of God to men. The Word communicates the Father's glory. You'll notice here, He reveals the person of God. God, who is one who we can know personally. And Jesus Christ, being equal with the Father, reveals the nature and the attributes of God perfectly. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the brightness of the Father's glory. All things are committed into His hand. He is appointed the heir of all things, by whom the worlds were made. He's the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. He upholds all things by the word of His power. How fully and perfectly Christ reveals God, His nature, His person, His power, His patience, His wisdom, His love, His compassion, whatever attribute you want to think of. Christ fully reveals the truth concerning God. He reveals the perfection of God, because it says here in Hebrews 1:3, He is the express image of His person. He reveals the perfections of God. Christ reveals the attributes and perfection of God. That is, He conveys the divine glory of God. He, as God, reveals God. But it's more than that. He's not only the revealer of God. He not only makes God known to men, but He is God revealed. He is God manifest in the flesh, the express image of His person, the image of the invisible God. That is the exact essence and representation of God in every respect. Jesus Christ sets before us a visible, tangible representation of God. He makes God known. He is God. And friend, tonight, outside of Christ, you have to realize that there is no knowing God apart from Jesus Christ. So perfectly, so fully does Jesus Christ reveal God to men that at the end of his earthly ministry, in response to Philip's appeal, remember what Philip said, "Show us the Father, and that's sufficient for us. It sufficeth us." And Jesus turned to him and he said, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." To know Christ is to know God. To know God is to know Christ. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that Jesus Christ is God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, a verse that delights the heart of a saint in that we were once in darkness, but God commanded the light to shine in our dark hearts. God shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How? In the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. The most glorious and clearest revelation of what God is and who God is, His nature, His attributes, that revelation is in Jesus Christ. Can I know God? Yes, you can. How can you know God? By being rightly related to the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. He reveals the person and the perfection of God. But not only that, He reveals the plan of God to save men from their sins. Because we read in Hebrews 1 verse 3, "When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Here you have Christ, the conquering Savior, in condescending love. Think of it. Here is the one, it says, He made the worlds. He had a part, He was there at creation. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. He's the source of all life. That's what it means in John 1. And yet God, the Creator, who made the worlds, who sustains the world, He entered the world that He made for a purpose. He came to redeem us from our sins, to purge our sins away by the sacrifice of Himself. This is an amazing truth. That God created the world, entered the world He made. He came to save sinful, rebellious man. Those who had rebelled against their Creator, who had turned from Him. That we would know this fellowship. And He comes to reveal Himself. He comes to make known this plan of salvation. To reveal God's plan of salvation, restoring that fellowship that had been broken. That fellowship that sin once destroyed. Jesus came to purge our sins, that we would know God and know this fellowship with the Father. He purged our sins. Every child of God rejoices in that truth. We owe so much to the Savior. Because without His mediatorial work, without His mediation, God would be unknown. If Christ did not come down in love to purge us from our sins, we would never have known God. We would be in darkness. We would have no knowledge of God, blind to our own condition, blind to our sin, blind of our need. But God has revealed Himself in His Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, there is no knowledge of God, no knowledge of the life of God, the love of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, apart from Jesus Christ. Because Christ is made unto the believer wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And more than that, Christ is our all and in all. He has revealed Himself. The light of the glorious gospel has come to our hearts with power, and we know God. So here is the answer to the question, how can I know God? How can I obtain a deeper knowledge of God? It's through a knowledge of Christ. By a careful study of all that He is, by keeping the heart occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, renewing the mind daily in His Word, keeping the things of God fresh before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We read in Matthew 11:27 that all things are delivered unto Christ of the Father. We read here in Hebrews 1 that He is the heir of all things. All things are in His hand. And Matthew 11:27 says, "And all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." God delights in revealing Himself to men. He has made known His will, His plan of salvation in His Word, in sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's only in God's light we shall see Him who is light. And God must shine in our hearts, giving this true knowledge. It means that we must walk in communion with the Lord day by day, that we would know Him, that we would know Him in a deeper way. And what are the benefits? What are the benefits of knowing God? What's the byproduct of such knowledge? There are wonderful benefits to the Christian life, to the believer. Strength. Strength for the journey. Daniel 11:32. The people that do know their God shall be what? Shall be strong and do exploits. They shall be strong and take action. They will serve the Lord. They will do great things. We will confide in the Lord. As we know Him, those who have just views of God will rest in Him. We will trust in Him. The greater views we have of our God and what He has accomplished for us, what He has given to us, the more we will not only trust Him, the more we will love Him, the more we will worship Him, the more we will walk in close fellowship with Him. We will know His strength. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We'll confide in the Lord. Not only will there be strength, but there will be stability as well. We will be a stable people. Because we know the Lord, we are men and women of conviction who know God and know His Word, know what we believe, and not tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but steadfast, unmovable, grounded on the solid rock of Scripture, having discernment, stable. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in the Lord. There will be satisfaction because we realize that no matter what else we seek after, no matter what else we set our heart upon, it will not satisfy us like Christ. None but Christ can satisfy. Only God can satisfy the deep longings of our soul, and there's no need for us to look elsewhere. And so we must come to the Scriptures day by day. We must be, as believers, lovers of the Word. We must read the Word. We must delight in the Word. We must let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. It teaches us. It admonishes us. It leads us. And we're called to abide in the Word. Abide in Christ. Abide in me, Christ said, and let my Word abide in you. Let the Word of God abide in us, and we shall be taught of God. We will know God. We will walk with God. He will lead us in grace, in truth, to a deeper understanding of His perfection, of His will for us. He has promised to be our helper. Our lives really are the product of our thoughts. To live right, we need to think right, and we need to be grounded in the Word. Because for the believer, this really is the principal means to growth. Being conformed to the image of Christ, we need to be readers of God's Word. It molds our thoughts. It directs our lives. We're renewed in mind day by day. So we can know God. God reveals Himself in His Word. He hath spoken, and He does speak by His Son, by the Word. And we can know Him. So let us follow on to know the Lord, that we would know His anointing upon our life and upon our service as we give ourselves to Him and to His Word. That He would feed us and sustain us, and we would know His leading, the light of God shining upon us, the Word as a lamp to our feet as we seek to live for Him in this dark world. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee for the Scriptures of truth. We thank Thee for the Word of the living God. May we be those who feast upon Thy Word day by day, nourished up, that we would not just be babes, but we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Lord, that we would go from the milk to the strong meat, that we would feed our souls day by day. We know Christ is the bread of life, the one sent down from heaven. May our desire ever be after the Lord. Lord, day by day, uphold us by the word of your power. Keep us in the way of vital godliness, that we would press toward the mark of the high calling. Lead us on with yourself now. Receive our thanks for your goodness to us. We thank Thee for this encouragement that God, in condescending grace, would choose to meet with us and to fellowship with us, unworthy as we are. And yet the Lord has said, where His people are gathered together in His name, He is in the midst, He is there, and He delights to be with His people. Lord, rejoice our hearts tonight as we go on our way, thinking of the Lord's goodness to us. The one who has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Help us in this week, Lord, we pray, to bring honor and glory to your name, to make Christ known. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.